Let's take our Bibles this evening and turn with me, please, in the Old Testament to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. The book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs. And we'll be looking tonight in the 30th chapter. And we praise the Lord for the pleasure and privilege to be here tonight at the Fellowship Baptist Church here in Clayton, North Carolina. I remember living in this area when I was in high school, I would tune in to 1590 a.m. Several years ago, hear Dr. Tom Williams preach early in the morning on tomorrow, what holds tomorrow. Then Brother Mays Jackson was on, and then Brother Lester Roloff, things of that nature. And if you were to tell me as a young preacher that I have the privilege to stand behind the pulpit of the church that takes out that broadcast, I'd said you're crazy. And it's just amazing how the Lord works. As a matter of fact, me and my wife were on our way up here. I grew up off of Bethlehem Road. How many of y'all know where Bethlehem Road is? It literally took us about 7 minutes to get to this church. And we were raised all of our life just down the road. And we're so thankful how the Lord has allowed our pastor cross. I met your pastor in a meeting last November. And we're so thankful to God that we were there. And how the Lord just does some great and marvelous things. And I hope and pray we'll be a blessing to you tonight. Now, some of you are looking at me like a calf looks at a new gate. You're looking at me wondering, can this young buck preach? And I'm looking at you thinking, can you handle it? Praise God. But I know you can handle it. Amen. I've had the privilege of crossing paths with several of the men of God that you have come during your camp meeting. And I appreciate your pastor standing in the old paths and in the way. I know we're living in a different day and time. I know that it seems like that the trend and the style is immorality. I know that our government and our society and our culture wants to legalize unrighteousness and illegalize unrighteousness. That's our society we're living in today, but I'm so glad that the Bible says that we ought to live godly, soberly, and righteously in this present world. Present world. It doesn't matter what day and time that we live in, it's still God that tells us to live right. And I hope and pray tonight the Lord will help us. And so let's all stand, please, in reverence to reading the Word of God. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 30. Most of this book was penned down under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost by Solomon, the wisest man who has ever walked on the face of the earth besides our Lord Jesus Christ himself. But when you come to chapter number 30, if you look at the first verse for just a moment, the Word of God says, "The words of Agur, the son of Jaki, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal." So the Lord is using this man by the name of Agur to pin down one chapter in the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were to have something of this great task and magnitude of being used of God, I want to make sure I did it for His honor and for His glory. Did it to the best of my ability, whatever the Lord would have us to do. What we find in this chapter is some marvelous truths that I believe will help our every single day lives. Proverbs chapter number 30, I want to start reading tonight in verse number 29. The Word of God says, "There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any, a greyhound, and he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up." And may the Lord add His richest blessings for the reading of His Word. Let us pray before we begin the message this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of allowing us to stand behind this sacred desk and to rightly divide the Word of truth. We thank You, Lord, for everything that has already transpired in this meeting, how we went through the prayer list and how we're interceding for one another, bearing one another's burdens. We thank You, Lord, that Your house truly is a house of prayer. May we get back to this. And I pray now that You would give me Thy touch. Lord, I can't stand here in the armor of flesh. Lord, I must have Thy Holy Ghost to help me preach, thus saith the Lord. I pray for the audience tonight from the eldest to the youngest, that none of us will be distracted or deviated in our minds, but may the Holy Ghost captivate our attention towards the things of God. I pray most importantly for someone that is not saved. May they be saved this evening. May they trust Christ as their own personal Savior, that they may be born again, and they may have an eternal home in heaven. I pray for the saints tonight that you would not just challenge us by your word and convict us through the Holy Ghost, but change us to be more faithful servants unto thee. Help us now to be a blessing, and help me to make me a blessing tonight. And Lord, help us to do all for thy honor and for thy glory. For we ask all these things in the name which is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Proverbs chapter number 30, as I've already explained, God is using this man by the name of Agur to pen down these words. And you'll start noticing with me in verse number 15 that there is a list of things being given. For instance, in verse 15, the Bible talks about there, later on in the verse, there are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not. You'll find that phrase over and over, there are three things, yea, there are four. List of things. And in verse 15, you'll find what I call for seeking and wanting things. And then in verse number 18, you'll find what I call for shady and wandering things. For the Bible says that there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. And then down in verse number 21 is what I call for shaking and wavering things. For the Bible says, for three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. And then in verse number 24, you'll find what I call four small but wise things. For the Bible says, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. But we want to concentrate our attention tonight on our text, the verses we read. In verse number 29, these are what I call four strolling and walking things. For in verse 29, it says there that there be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. Now, in this verse, we see that there is a promise of certainty. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, the Bible says there's three things that go well, and they are comely in going. That word comely there doesn't necessarily mean beautiful or good looking. I know that word comely is used there describing David in 1 Samuel 16, that he was a comely young lad, referring that he was a good-looking boy. But that word comely has a stronger emphasis here in Proverbs 30. It literally means not just beautiful, but it means for sure, successfully, and certainly. So there is a promise of certainty here that whatever's about to be listed, they are going to come. They are going to come. They are going to go well. They are going for sure and for certain. Now, if you're still with me, say amen. So we see that there is a promise of certainty here, but now we see the particular characters. Look at what is listed here. It says, a lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any, a greyhound, and he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. So now you have the particular characters listed here that are described that are going to come for sure and for certain. It's a lion, it's a greyhound, which is a dog, and he-goat, and a king. Now, I don't know about you, but what in the world does a wild animal, a lion, a domestic animal, a dog, a greyhound, a clean animal, and he-goat, and a human being represented by a king have in common? What an interesting list God has put together to say that these things are comely and going. These four things are going to come successfully and for sure. But I believe tonight that these four things in an application, they are a parallel to Christ. These four things, I believe, can parallel Jesus Christ. You say, what do you mean, preacher? The king is the first thing on the list and the last thing on the list. You have a lion that is said there. Doesn't the word of God tell us in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 5, that John was weeping because nobody was worthy to open the seven sealed book? Yet there was one that rose and said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is worthy to open the seven sealed book. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ, friend, is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And then the last thing on the list is the king. Doesn't the word of God also tell us in the book of Revelation that when Jesus Christ rides again. And he rides on a white horse, friend. And when he comes and touches down here on the earth, that have written on his vesture and on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I believe, friend, that this list is a parallel to Jesus Christ. But if the lion represents Jesus, and if the king represents Jesus, that means the greyhound and the he-goat also has to represent Jesus. Now I'm going somewhere. Listen up now. You say, preacher, what are you trying to get at? Well, these four things, the Bible says, are going to come. We've established that. The Bible says here that they are comely and going. These things will be successful in their coming. Some of y'all, that's about to hit y'all in just a few minutes. Amen. Hey, I'm here to tell you these four things, these four creatures, friend, I believe, emphasize the four features of how Jesus Christ is also going to return as well. And this evening, with the Lord's help, I am preaching on the subject, Jesus is coming back for sure. Amen. Jesus is coming back for sure. Now, we are living in days that are not sure. We are living in days of uncertainty. As a matter of fact, it's been said and quoted numerous amount of times that the only thing that is for sure is death and taxes, right? Those are the only things that really we can depend on. But I'm here to report to you tonight that there is something that's more certain than death. That there is something even more certain than what's going to happen on April the 15th of 2012 with taxes. I'm here to tell you, friend, on the authority of the Word of God, on the authority of God's divine book, that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Oh, friend, if there's anything that needs to be preached more now than ever before, it is the coming and the second coming of the Lord. Oh, friend, that's the next thing on God's time calendar, friend, is the rapture of the church. I'm so thankful to announce to all of you tonight that death may come and the taxes may come, but before death may come and before the taxes may come, Jesus Christ could be on his way right here, right now, for you and for me this evening. You see, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was announced by our Savior, friend, John 14. The disciples were already disturbed at Jesus Christ telling them that I'm going to go away. He already told Peter that you're going to deny me. He already told the disciples that one of you is going to betray me. But old John 14, 1 tells us, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, I will come again, I will come again and receive into myself that where I am there you may be also. I'm so thankful tonight that the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, personally said, I will return. I will come again. You see, friend, the second coming was announced by our Savior. But oh, it's also affirmed in the Scriptures. Over and over again, as you look at this King James Bible, friend, it's filled with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, you look in the Old Testament, there are hundreds of prophecies concerning His first coming. And remember, church, the Old Testament was around before His first coming. But you know how many prophecies there are of His second coming in the Old Testament? Not hundreds, thousands, church. Thousands of prophecies in your Old Testament before the first coming, sir. It was prophesied even more that Jesus Christ is going to come again. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, 27 books of your Bible, 318 verses say that Jesus is coming again. That's an average of 1 out of 20 verses in the New Testament say He's coming again. The Word of God affirms it to us. And oh, how we need that affirmation more than ever before. Some of you have heard this type of preaching all of your life. I know it's dark outside. It's not dark physically I'm talking about. It's dark spiritually, friend. It's dark all around us in sin and in wickedness. We're living in world. worse days than ever before. But that's what the Bible said. What happened? Man would wax worse and worse. Things would get worse before it gets better. And I'm glad to tell you this evening, the Word of God affirmed that when you see all these things happening all around you, to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'm glad we have an authority tonight. I'm glad I got an anchor of the soul. I got some solid rock that I can plant my feet on, the authority of the Word of God that will never lead me astray, friend. It affirms us in the Scriptures. Now, some of you are looking at me like, well, 318 verses are not that much in 27 books. But let me put it to you this way. Let's say you get on Interstate 70 out here, and you're going to go down to Goldsboro, North Carolina. And you get to the point, Brother Ennis, where you're only about 27 miles from Goldsboro. And from that 27 miles from Goldsboro, sir, you see 318 signs while you're driving that you're about to hit Goldsboro. I promise you, by the 318th sign in 27 miles, you say, I'm going to be in Goldsboro. Is everybody listening? Friend, one out of 20 verses in the New Testament says, He's coming. He's coming. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. Oh, friend, when I was in my vehicle from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, by the way, I'm a Tar Heel, all right? I haven't changed my colors, all right? I'm not going orange yet, praise God. Don't plan to either, amen? Still Tar Heels. Once you get tar on your heels, it never comes off, sir. Somebody say amen in the house. But anyway, I was driving from Murfreesboro to all the way here to Raleigh, North Carolina. And I didn't hardly see any signs that said Raleigh. The closer I got to Raleigh, the more signs I saw. The more signs I saw. And I'm here to tell you, church, more signs of His coming are all around us. How do we know the signs? Because of the Word of God. Because of what this King James Bible tells us, church. I'm so thankful to tell you tonight that it is affirmed in the Scriptures that Jesus is coming again. But oh, I'm here to even tell you even better than that, that the second coming of Jesus Christ is anticipated by the saints of God. Oh, friend, there are some of you tonight, you've been waiting all of your life for the coming of the Lord. Ever since you've been saved, ever since you've been born again, you've heard from this precious old book, you've heard from a man of God that Jesus is coming again. And friend, I'm here to tell you, that's the longing that we have in our souls, that Jesus is coming again. Acts chapter 1 tells us that Jesus ascended up into heaven. And the Bible says, two men stood by the disciples in white apparel and said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. Aren't you glad He said it was Jesus coming back? Hey, I like Abraham, but I'm glad it's not Abraham coming after me. I like Moses, but I'm glad it didn't say Moses. It said, this same Jesus, which ye have seen taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him return into heaven. Oh, friend, it's anticipated by you and me tonight that saved by the grace of God, we shouldn't have a pull on this world. Friend, if you're saved, there should be a pull to the glory world. There should be an anticipation in our souls this evening that we're heaven bound with the hammer down, friend. Oh, the Bible says in Titus 2, verse number 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, friend. There was a lady in our church not too long ago. She was unable to attend church anymore. She became one of our shut-in members, and I would go to her house frequently, and I'd go to encourage her, but she would end up more encouraging me, friend. And I'll go sit by her, and she said, Preacher, are you still preaching for that King James Bible? I said, Yes, ma'am, I sure am. She said, Preacher, are you still preaching on hell and preaching on salvation and how people can be saved from their sins? I said, Yes, ma'am, I sure am. And she said, Oh, but here's what's even important as well. Are you still preaching on the second coming? I said, Yes, ma'am, I sure am. She said, Preacher, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm listening for that trumpet to sound. I'm listening for Jesus Christ to come.
Oh, friend, I'm here to tell you tonight what's on people's minds more than ever before is being out of here, out of this sin-cursed world. If you're saved by the grace of God, hey, friend, my heartbeat is just like John on the Isle of Patmos. After he had seen the revelation in all of its glory and in all of its majesty, he comes down to the end of the book there in chapter 22, verse number 20. He said, he that testifieth, surely I will come quickly. And here is what John the said, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus, amen. He was anticipating Jesus to come. Hey, do you realize the Apostle Paul was anticipating Jesus to come in his time? You say, well, Brother John, he may not come in my time. Well, if the Apostle Paul was waiting for Jesus to come, and if he died, there's nothing wrong with you and me, friend, saying Jesus Christ is coming again in our time. Oh, friend, it's anticipated by the saints. I'm glad tonight Jesus is coming again for sure. Amen. For sure tonight. See, some of y'all are putting a question mark on that. He may come. No, friend, he is going to come. It's for sure and it's for certain. Hey, death is a possibility, but the second coming is certainly. Amen. The second coming is more certain than anything else on the face of this planet. Now, let's look here at these four creatures tonight. And we'll go to the house. Amen. The first thing you'll find here, the first thing mentioned is a lion. And I believe that this represents that Jesus Christ is coming back again with sure and certain stealth. With sure and certain stealth. The Bible says that it's the strongest among beasts. And that word strongest there is not just referring to the physical strength. It's referring to a hunter or a mighty one. You see, lions, according to this text, it proves they are the king of the jungle. Lions are very strong animals. Do you realize tonight a lion can weigh up to 500 pounds, not a flab, sir, of muscle. Solid muscle. 500 pounds. But they're not just also very strong, but they're very speedy animals. Do you realize tonight that and lion can leap over 30 feet in the air to get its prey. An amazing thing how the Lord created those lions and the explosion of how fast they are, how far they can jump. But here's what's amazing about a lion. Even though it's so strong and even though it's so fast, it is a very sneaky animal. Some of y'all have seen them Discovery Channel show, them animal shows of them crawling through tall grass. And big old lions. And as fast as they are, they go through the grass looking for their prey. And the prey don't even know that they're there. Very sneaky. And before the prey knows it, there is that lion and he's got him. You see, that's exactly how Jesus Christ is going to come again. We're not going to know when. That Harold Camping last year, he got it wrong. And guess what? If he says something again, it'll be wrong again. If he keeps on saying something again, it'll be wrong again. Hey, the Bible tells us in Matthew 24, verse number 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only, friend. The Bible also says, watch therefore, for in such an hour your Lord doth come. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Lord will come. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ, when he comes, it's not going to be announced on the CNN. He's not going to call Fox News. Just like a thief won't call you when he's coming to rob your house, Jesus is coming as a thief from the night. We don't know when he's going to return. We don't know when. That's why we better always be ready. We better always be ready, friends, for the coming of the Lord. Now, when a thief comes to your home, I promise you, they're not coming to take out the trash. Somebody help me, amen? When a thief comes to your house, what are they going after? The precious things. Matter of fact, they're going after them jewels, probably. Some of you might even have some pearls inside of your home. See, preacher, what are you getting at? You know what the Bible talks about the church in Matthew 13? The Bible refers to the church in that parable of the pearl of great price. Friend, I'm so thankful that when Jesus comes back again, He's coming back for what's rightfully His. He's coming back for His precious things. He's coming back for His pearl. He's coming back for the church, and we don't know when it's going to be. I just thank God I'm a part of the church tonight. And He's coming back for me. I remember watching one time a show where a herd of impalas was gathered together, and a lion came up near them, and the herd of impalas got real restless. But all of a sudden, that lion just sat down and just watched that herd of impalas. Then the impalas just kind of getting nervous still, but then they eased off because the lion wasn't coming after them. On the other side of the herd came walking up another lion. And when that one lion saw that the other lion was on the other side, that other lion got up, let a loud roar out, and the impalas started panicking and frantic. They didn't go that way of the other lion, and they didn't go that way of the lion that roared, and they couldn't go back that way. The only way they had to go was down the hill. And so they went down that hill, and the person that was doing the cameraman that was videotaping all that was going on, looked what was happening, and he went to the other side of the hill. Lo and behold, as that herd of impalas went over that hill, it is said there that there was two other lions waiting down there. Got a couple of impalas, and they were ready to eat. You see, Brother Ennis, I want you to help me. Come on up here tonight. Come on up to this platform. Some of you are wondering, what is Jesus doing right now? I want you to know what Jesus is doing. Sit right here, brother, if you don't mind. Sit right here. Brother Ennis is going to represent God the Father right here. You know what Jesus is doing? Let me tell you what He's doing tonight. Amen. All the abortions going on. All the politicking going on. All the wars going on. All the wicked and all the sinful mess and all the vile, sinful wickedness that's taking place in this world. He's just sitting at the right hand of the Father. You say, what is Jesus waiting on? I'll tell you what He's waiting on. He's waiting for the Father saying, go get them, son. He's waiting for the Father saying, hey, son, go get your children. Go get your church. And the moment that He hears from His Father, you mark it down, friend, Jesus is getting up off of His throne. He's heading past the seraphims. He's heading past, praise God, all those that are worshiping Him. He's going past the mansions, past the streets of gold, past the pearly gates, and He's going up to a door in the clouds. He's going to open that door and say, come up hither, and the church will be raptured out of here, friend. That's what Jesus is waiting on. You see, He's coming back like a lion with sure and certain stealth. Secondly, tonight, I want to hurry. I know we got people to go to work, and I know children's got to go to bed for school. So, secondly, he's not just coming back as a lion. He's coming back as a greyhound with sure and certain speed. Y'all know what a greyhound is, don't you? It's a dog, right? Dogs are friendly dogs, or they're supposed to be. Aren't dogs called man's best friend? Man's oldest friend? You know what it says about our Lord Jesus Christ in Proverbs 18:24? That there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm so thankful, friend, that when you and I may have it out with our friends of this world, that there's one friend that'll never go anywhere, our Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, a dog fortifies. We got this little mini Chihuahua dog. I mean, less than 3 pounds, Brother Ennis, it ain't scared of nothing. I mean, it'll bark and it'll try to bite. I mean, that little dog will let you know who's in charge. You know why? She's trying to protect her masters. And, old friend, I'm so thankful tonight that if we're a part of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we've been saved, He's going to protect us. He's going to guard us. No man shall be able to pluck them, the Bible says, out of His hands. But here's what's interesting about a greyhound. They're also very fast dogs. That's what they're known for. As a matter of fact, if you have dog races, you don't put a Labrador Retriever in the dog race. Somebody say amen right there. You're not going to, hey, some of y'all might like coon hunting, but you're not going to put a coon dog in a dog race. Amen? You're going to put one of them greyhounds in the dog race. Greyhounds can run up to 40 miles an hour. And I'm here to tell you tonight, church, when Jesus Christ comes, He's coming back like lightning speed. The Bible says there in Matthew 24, verse number 27, that as the lightning shineth, as the lightning cometh from the east and shineth to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I like what the inspirations sing. They don't sing it's not in a wink and not in the blink, but in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says that in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells us, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Revelation 4 tells us that John heard a noise coming from heaven, and he heard as it were a trumpet talking with him, saying, come up hither. And the Bible says that immediately he was in the spirit, and behold, the throne of God was right in front of him. I'm here to tell you, when Jesus comes back again, it won't be waiting here for just a few hours or even a few days. I'm here to tell you, immediately, at the moment, at the twinkling of an eye, we'll be with him. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, friend. I'm so thankful tonight. He's coming back fast. And it's faster than you think. If we knew tonight truly when Jesus was come back again, it would probably scare us half to death. He's coming back with sure and certain speed. Thirdly tonight, he's coming back as a he-goat with sure and certain steps. Steps. You say, preacher, what do you mean by steps? Well, a he-goat is a very interesting animal. It's like a mountain goat. And you see, mountain lions, they crawl up the mountains, but there are certain places even mountain lions won't go. And I'm going to tell you what saves the mountain goats from the mountain lions. They know how to step higher on the mountain. They know how to go farther up on that mountain. And they make sure that they take those higher steps to get away from the adversary. See, preacher, what are you trying to refer to tonight? Do you realize that there are steps that are taking place for the coming of the Lord? I don't got time to go into it tonight, but I'm here to tell you, signs of the times are all around us. Amen? How many of y'all were here when the earthquake hit several months ago? Who would have ever thought an earthquake would be here in North Carolina? I mean, we've heard of hurricanes. You know what the Bible says about the end times? The Bible says in the book of Luke that the seas will be roaring like never before during the end of days. But you know what the Bible also says in Matthew 24? That there will be earthquakes in divers places. That means earthquakes will be happening everywhere. Do y'all realize tonight that there are more earthquakes happening this last year, and they're predicting more this upcoming year than ever before? I'm talking about signs and steps that are taking place for Jesus to return. Some of you tonight, if I were to personally ask you how you think this country is doing, and if you're not like an ostrich with your head down in the sand, I believe all of us would agree we're in big trouble in this country. Big trouble. Amen, friend. I mean, you can get mad at me, say I'm preaching politics all you want to. I'm not trying to go there, preacher, but I'm here to tell you, our president is heading our nation towards socialism and Marxism, friend. Amen. By the way, if you're a good Christian, you won't vote for him again this fall. I said, if you're a good Christian, you won't vote for him again this fall. Amen. You say, why is that, preacher? Because you know what Obama's trying to do? He is trying to get us to where we're so reliant upon the government, and pretty soon, it's going to be all just a big, giant, one-world system. We can't pay back China. We owe China so much. Yet China can't go without us. That's how they're thriving, their economy. So it's just going to be one big, giant, one-world government coming up soon. You say, preacher, are you against a one-world government? I sure am, friend, because the Bible says that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, who is anti-God, anti-Jesus, anti-the Lord, he will want the one-world government. And if that's what the devil wants, and if that's what Satan wants, if that's what the Antichrist wants, you mark it down, friend. It's what the church should not want. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Steps are taking place. Do you realize that one of the trumpets that will be sounded in the book of Revelation, it says that there will be a 200 million man army? There's only one nation tonight that I know that has that many people. Country of China. Hello, Tokyo. I'm here to tell you, friend, if we really knew how close we are to the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, the tribulation period, some of us wouldn't be able to handle it tonight. Amen, friends. Steps are taking place. And here's the deal, church. I shouldn't be looking for signs. Amen. Hey, friends, signs are for His revelation when He comes back again riding on the white horse. But listen, church, we're the church. We should be looking for the rapture. We should be listening for the sound of the trumpet. And if we're seeing signs of His revelation, Pastor, how much closer are we to the rapture? That's 7 years before His revelation. Oh, He's coming back with steps. Lastly, and I'm done tonight. Y'all been good at listening. Last thing, there's also the King. He's come back as a king. That's with sure and certain strength. A king against whom there is no rising up. They're going to try to rise against Jesus on that day of Armageddon in Revelation 19. But guess what, church? They're not sending Jesus back to the cross. They're not sending Jesus back to a tomb. I'm glad to tell you tonight that when He comes riding back on the white horse, He's not going to be riding back on the donkey. I'm here to tell you tonight, He's not coming back wearing a crown of thorns. And the Bible says He's coming back wearing many crowns. He's not coming back, friend, with a seamless robe. The Bible says He's coming back with a robe that's dipped with blood. Friend, He's not coming back with dove soft eyes of compassion. Friend, He's coming back with His eyes as a flame of fire. And He's not coming back with soft, tender words. The Bible says that He's going to speak and a sharp sword's going out of His mouth that it'll smite the nation. And the blood is going to flow to the horse's bridle on that day. Hey, friend, Jesus ain't going to fire a gun. He don't have a 38 pistol in His back pocket. He don't have even a nuke that's ready to go off. He just has to speak His word, and everybody will be annihilated on that day. Here's my advice to you. Are you going to be behind Jesus riding with Him, or are you going to be in front of Him being annihilated with everybody else? You better be behind Him, friend. Amen. Amen. Oh, He's coming back, and He's coming back for sure. How many of you have heard of King Richard? Raise your hand. How many of you have heard of Robin Hood? Raise your hand. The legend around Robin Hood revolves around King Richard during the 10th century. King Richard was a real king of England, and he spent more of his time away from his country than he did in his country. Seems like that kind of reminds me of how our Lord Jesus Christ is. He only spent about 33 and a half years here physically on this earth. And He's been away a long time before, and now He's been away a long time after that. King Richard was during the Crusade period, but he eventually got caught and arrested. Word got around London, and his brother John, Prince John, was trying to overtake and rule the country, trying to make sure King Richard wouldn't return. And I mean, things were getting bad economically in the country. It was getting bad domestically. Violence was running on every single hand. It was just getting worse than ever before. But oh, church, one day about 2 years later, an old ship pulled up on the harbor. And there on the bow of the ship with his giant breastplate with a lion on the front of it, it was King Richard. He had come home. And he had come home to stay. When he came back, legend says that he found Prince John sitting on his throne, and he threw him off of his throne, and they had another coronation day when he came back, and they recrowned King Richard, and the bells of the church and everyone was crying all around town throughout that day. King Richard has come back. King Richard has come back. The King has returned. Friend, what beautiful music the angels sang at the first coming of Christ. But oh, friend, I hate to say it, but I think that their music's going to pale when the saints of God sing when His second coming returns. Friend, I'm so thankful that those of us that have not been dead, we're going to say, "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" And those that have already died, they'll say, "Oh, grave, where is thy victory?" I'm glad to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ will return. He's coming back whether you rejoice in it or not. He's coming back whether you're right with Him or not. And He's coming back whether you're ready or not. Watch therefore. Be ye also ready. The Bible says in 1 John 2:28 that we better abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If that verse tells me that we should not be ashamed, that tells me some people may be ashamed when Jesus comes again. I don't know of any greater motivation tonight than to tell you that Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? He is coming tonight, church. And He's coming back for sure. You say, preacher, I've heard that all my life. As a matter of fact, if somebody tells you, where is the promise of His coming? You just tap them on the shoulder and says, thank you, sir. That encouraged me. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Have you lost your marbles? Oh, no, friend, because the Bible says that there'll be people like that in this day and time. Because the Bible says in 2 Peter 3, verse number 3, that there'll be scoffers and them that say in the last time, where is the promise of His coming? You just tap somebody on the shoulder and say, I'm glad you said that, sir. Where is the promise of His coming? God said there'll be people just like you when He comes back again. Are you ready tonight? Are you ready tonight? Jesus is coming back for sure. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the message of Thy Word tonight. And I pray that You have convicted our hearts. Lord, it doesn't matter if they're a leader in the church, or whether they feel like they're just a layman in the church. Lord, if they're just newly saved, newly been born again, a babe in Christ, or whether or not they're mature in Christ, I pray that all of us will recognize tonight that when Jesus comes, He's coming for us all. And are we ready? I pray for those that are not saved tonight. For Lord, what an awful thing it would be for You to return in the rapture and they would be left behind. Oh God, they'd face the worst nightmares that they've ever dreamed during the tribulation period. Help them to be saved tonight. I pray for us, the saints of God, that we'll be ready. For we ask all these things in Christ's name we do pray.